Welcome to Fast Break Breakfast. I'm Keith Parrish. I'm here with, as always, John and Chuck. John, how are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Chuck, you hanging in there?
Oh, I'm good, baby.
This is great. This is exciting. So we're going to talk some NBA hoops, but before we do, I think we need to talk about, as we call it, the most important thing, breakfast.
Yes.
John, what'd you have for breakfast?
I didn't.
No breakfast today. Chuck?
I had a Hardee's gift card for my birthday.
Yeah?
And I used it on a Velveeta and bologna biscuit.
That is not a thing, is it?
I believe none of this.
You guys can look it up. It's true.
Because if that's a real thing, that should be the new sponsor of the unsustainable guys, business model.
You guys just sound jealous. And unsustainable nothing, that is a staple of American eating,
Chuck,
is fried bologna.
I'm pretty sure whomever gave you that gift card, in fact, does not wish you a happy birthday.
That might be one of the worst gift cards I've ever heard that you could possibly...
Who gave that to you? They don't like you. They don't love you. They don't even... Yeah, they hate you.
Well, look, you guys don't know what you're talking about, and I take offense to this.
So it was your wife?
No, it was my sister-in-law.
She just knows you. Well, I'm sure she hates you.
She knows how fat I am.
So she's like, you know what Chuck would love? Probably he would love some Hardee's.
Yeah.
I bet that guy eats at Hardee's.
Yeah, like high glycerides.
Nitrates.
Nitrated.
That's good. Well, for breakfast, I had a Panera muffin, a wild blueberry muffin, and I had a Panera muffin because my wife is very, very pregnant.
Yeah,
and she asked for a Panera muffin, so I got myself one. And that leads to, we're actually recording this on Wednesday, where we normally record on Thursday, because...
You're a bad person.
Because I'm a bad person. My wife is very in labor. Our baby is due.
Actively in labor.
Yeah. And I sent her ahead to the hospital, and I was like, we need to punch out
just
this.
Hurry up.
You punch out the baby. I need to punch out one more podcast.
She's like 6 centimeters dilated.
It's unpleasant. So we might have a little abbreviated podcast today.
If you hear a lot of buzzing and then Keith's feet flopping out the door,
we'll let you know.
That'll be, I got the text, and I had to take off. All right, so we're going to start this week like we did last week, and we might do every week with our segment, The Breakfast in Bed Apologies. This is where we apologize. It could be to a player or to anything that we maybe spoke ill of. John, do you have an apology?
Last week I gave sort of a half-assed apology because I said the Rockets still weren't any good, despite their record, because they had played teams such as the Lakers and the Sixers. But the Rockets are awesome.
They look very good.
I didn't foresee this Orlando Magic Dwight Howard coming back and putting up 32 and 16 right in my face. And Harden is kind of next leveling things now. Probably going to lead the league in scoring.
It seems he has to be the heavy favorite to keep scoring. And I saw that, I believe on the starters on NBA TV today, that the Dwight Howard and James Harden combined have more free throws than 3 NBA teams. So...
Probably still can't watch the Rockets.
Oh, they are unwatchable.
But they are
unstoppable. Still unwatchable.
Well, if I had to apologize to anyone, a couple weeks ago, I jokingly said the Heat's biggest offseason loss was Tony.
Tony Douglas.
Tony Douglas.
You were sad about Tony Douglas.
I was
leaving.
Sad. Well, apparently he scored 25 in China. So. I'm sorry, Tony. I didn't mean to doubt you.
Was Mike Beasley guarding him?
That's who it was. It was Mike Beasley and Andre Blatch.
You better hope Josh Childress wasn't guarding him.
No.
Because he'd be in the hospital.
Childress, Australia, the Thunder from Down Under.
look up Josh
flying
Childress.
Flying elbow
hard
to
foul.
The face.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Whenever a country has to commune a basketball tribunal to review your actions, it might be time to look in the mirror.
That was a Tito Santana flying forearm.
Oh.
And that's also the, we're talking about this Josh Childress. Again, Google Josh Childress flying elbow.
Hard foul. Fallow doom.
And that's a good lesson for referees out there. Why, if there's a big contact early, just go ahead and call something.
Yeah.
Because the next thing you know, someone might be diving at a person with their elbow to their face.
Correct.
My apology this week is actually going to be to a team I thought very low, had a very low opinion of coming into the season. And a lot of that's because they burned me the year before when I thought they were a lock to go over.
The Philadelphia 76ers.
No, that's a joke there. No apologies to them. The Milwaukee Bucks.
They should be apologizing.
Hey, they won 15 games last year, and I took the under, not understanding how the pieces are going to fit. And Jason Kidd has them playing great defense.
Yeah.
Like, and they're just hustling. They can't. Their offense is a mess, but just Giannis on
a miracle whip.
OJ back to light mayo. He's working.
Well, Larry Sanders has a lot to do with that. He's, you know, a serious plus defender, and the length on the outside
and quickness. The length is overwhelming.
When you have that those sorts of athletes on the perimeter, you're and a real shot blocker in the middle, you're going to do well.
They have solid players like John Henson not getting any minutes.
Right.
I mean, John Henson, he's really good. He's a really good big. Like, he definitely blocks somebody really hard.
He'd fit in real well on a team like, say, the Grizzlies.
I can't argue with that. I'd love to see you to get him. All right, so those are our apologies for the week again.
I'm sorry, baby.
To everyone.
I'll never do it again. Eat this.
So now let's focus on the, we call this the steak and eggs best of the week. This is your favorite thing that you saw all week. Does anybody, Chuck, you don't ever want to go first, but.
No, I'll go first on this. My favorite thing of the week is steaming Kevin Love. Just being angry at Kyrie Irving all the time, and apparently they have some sort of secret handshake where they touch each other's mouths or something.
Well, I mean, they're not angry during the handshake.
No, but I think that's all pomp.
What did they release in their press statement that handshake was?
Well, so the handshake, I actually
a mustache.
I hardly ever even read these stories that are like the main stories, but I saw so many headlines about it that I had to look it up. So the handshake, at the very end of it, they both put their hands to their mouths, and people thought they were imitating smoking a joint.
Well, they totally were. They were just dank ass creepy bud,
but
huge tokes.
They claim that they're twirling their mustaches, so their hands are up at their mouths, kind of twirling.
No, they were going one toke over the line,
smoking the smoke.
It was pretty funny. Kyrie Irving has a quote to the effect of, "Listen, guys, we have a really awesome handshake. We're going to keep doing it."
Yeah. My favorite Kyrie thing that I heard this year so far was against the Bulls, where he goes to Mike Miller and he's like, is this what a playoff game's like? Is this sort of like what playoff basketball is? Which is going to bode well for them when they're in a game 7, I think, on the road.
And then
Chicago.
And then he shot 27 times with no assists.
Oh. But they're not imploding. They're at 500. So it's not going as badly as I'd hoped. I am officially more, and I've hated people for doing this against the Heat before, but now I hate the Cavs more than I like my team. I get far more joy.
I thought best of the week would be you talking about how great the Heat have been, but nope.
Why would I? The Heat just
beat a hot shooting Pelicans team.
Yeah.
It's true.
Where Ryan Anderson could not miss, and they still came back and won.
Yeah, and they beat Dallas, did a good job, blew out Dallas, which I think is going to be a playoff team.
I'm worried about Dallas.
I am too.
I'm worried about Dallas.
Well, Chandler Parsons is apparently a fat guy now, who just forgot how to shoot. He's shooting like 20-something percent from downtown.
Tyson Chandler is toast.
I think he's putting up decent numbers, but his...
I don't think he's completely toast. I feel like he's still active out there. I mean, he's not...
His numbers look fine, but watching him play is painful.
That's what it is. He's just not as quick off of on the rotations as he used to be in those earlier years. His numbers are deceiving, I think, and I agree. Let you believe he's having a good season because he's at like 12 points and like 13 rebounds.
In the games I watch, I feel like he's still doing a good job of he's back tapping a lot of rebounds. He's stealing things he shouldn't get as far as his rebounds, loose balls. But it's also tough when you're the only probably plus defender when everyone else out there is kind of highway to the bucket that you have to be there.
And I thought last year, because there was a lot of drama going on in that Knicks locker room, and he was apparently the man out in that locker room. There was a clique system going on.
I think he was lonely.
And I think he checked out.
You see how he dresses? He deserves to be lonely.
Yeah,
he looks like a hipster ninja.
Yeah, he looks like he should be taking photos of the Brooklyn Bridge.
Sounds awesome.
Kabuki puppeteer.
I'm gonna dress up my newborn baby next year as a hipster ninja. That's a good Halloween costume.
Please don't dress up your children.
What do you mean? Dressing up the children is one of the best things there is.
They don't know what's going on.
Do you, John, do you have a best of the week? Do you have a steak and eggs best of the week?
I'm going to go with Isaiah Thomas's refusal to stop scoring, no matter how many minutes he is given.
Junior?
Hmm?
Yes, Junior.
Isaiah Thomas Jr. Okay.
That's no Junior.
Yeah.
I thought his name was...
Or it's not. It's
as a result of a lost bet, I believe.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
His dad like lost a bet and had to name his son after Isaiah Thomas because of a bet he made with some other father.
That's not true.
But the guy's putting up huge win shares per 48. His offensive box plus minus is in the top 15 or so, and he's doing this off the bench.
He's very much the a microwave off the bench where he just comes in and he is
the new Vinny Microwave Johnson.
He's such a scorer. It's great. The only drawback is it seems to maybe has a little bit of a hex on the Dragon in front of him, who's not playing incredibly well.
Yeah, I was hoping I would go last because I would then segue into my worst of the week, which is also Isaiah Thomas.
Well, why don't you save that? I'll go ahead and do my best of the week. My best of the week is Pau Gasol. Ugh. And I'll tell you why. HBO has a they got a Kevin Durant like the off season. I think it's called the off season. It's a 1 hour. Have you seen it, Chuck? Are you just groaning? It's propaganda.
Horrible.
I enjoyed it, but I'll say what I enjoyed about it. I like watching
basketball players.
I like watching basketball players. I like any kind of reality thing that involves pretty much famous people that just kind of follows them, even if it is scripted and staged. But the reason Pau Gasol is my steak and eggs of the week is because in that they show some of the stuff of where Durant is recruiting Pau Gasol to the Thunder, and he like texts him, and apparently he visits him, and someone asks KD how the visit with Pau went, and he's like, it went good, but like Pau kind of wants to like go to museums and the opera and like the orchestra and stuff.
Yeah.
And so he like slumps his shoulders, knowing that OKC doesn't maybe have the culture that Pau Gasol needs.
Yeah.
So then Pau does choose Chicago because apparently he likes going to the museums and the opera and orchestra and stuff.
Well, I have it on good word that Pau was ready to sign with Miami if LeBron came back for a severe discount. He was on board with coming to Miami, and he would have been he would have come for a minimum. Oh, that's what I've heard. And he would have fit in perfectly with Miami. There's a lot of topless bars there. And topless bars.
Yes, but I thought...
Well, are you saying tapas?
Topless bars.
Sounds great.
Topless bars.
Sounds very good. All right, so we can transition now. John already tipped his hand with his worst of the week. Go ahead.
Isaiah Thomas, for all of his gunning, Phoenix looks very mediocre.
Out of sorts.
I mean, I know they have wins, but that's wins against teams like... I think they played the Lakers twice.
That's right, they have.
And Goran Dragic, although he's starting to come around, I mean, I do think they can figure this out, but it's not, there's not a lot of good chemistry going on right now. I hate to spend that much time on Isaiah Thomas, so I mean, there's other guys to talk about. I feel like Utah would be a very good team if Burke and Burks could get their together right now, and neither one can at all.
Trey Burke is a disaster.
A disaster?
He's
like shooting 30%.
Yeah,
I mean, it's really hard to watch. And Alec Burks, you know, is not playing.
Well, that boy got paid, so he
might be taking it easy.
You can let him chill for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, he got paid, but it wasn't like a monstrous contract. He should still be playing for a bigger contract.
It opened my eyes.
Really? I just think that's the state of the NBA now.
It could be.
I mean, look at what we gave Quincy Pondexter.
Uh-oh.
Were you talking...
Give Quincy Pondexter $3 million a year.
Well, that's not even
can we talk about
comparable him? To $10
million. I know, but he still doesn't deserve $3 million.
May be listening to this.
There's a good chance Quincy Pondexter's listening. So this occurred last night. The Grizzlies played the Lakers. They won by a few.
Three
points. Well, it's five. They ended up getting 107-102, I believe.
I fainted at three.
Yeah, that's good. So I was real excited, and if you don't know, we have a Twitter handle. It's at Fast Break Break.
Couldn't fit that last fast in there.
No.
Yeah, it's too many characters. So we're at Fast Break Break, and as a new Twitter account, we have upwards of 25 dedicated followers.
I think we're at 27.
Wow, okay. 27.
So
that's a satanic number.
I tweeted from that account because if you noticed, so Quincy Pondexter comes in at the end of the first quarter. For like the last 10 seconds, just for, to get Zach out.
Moronic plays.
Then he starts the second quarter. He catches in sequence, catches the ball in the corner, shoots, misses. Then on the other end, then comes out on defense. And there's like a little bit of an almost loose ball, like the idea that someone's about to lose it.
He over-pursues.
He goes for it, even though he has clearly no chance to get it. He leaves Xavier Henry wide open for a 15-footer, scores. So then the Grizzlies are down on offense. He just swings a pass over to the wing. It gets deflected out of bounds. boom, he's subbed.
Yes.
So he's pulled. I tweet like Quincy Pondexter.
Let's emphasize. Keith tweeted, if you're listening, yeah,
not Chuck or John.
Not us.
So I tweeted because I was pretty happy. Again, I'm a Grizzlies fan. I want the Grizzlies to win. I cheer for Quincy. I want him to do well. But I was happy
that he got subbed.
Because he got subbed. Because I don't think he's very good. I think he hurts the team when he's on the court.
Agreed.
So he gets subbed. I tweet, Quincy pulled after 90 seconds. He is terrible. Grizz Nation hashtag. Right. So later that this night, after he only ends up playing 90 seconds in the game, and people, apparently he was very...
he was pissed.
Yeah, he was angry. He was
cold to the media.
Yeah. Like, he didn't say anything to the media. And I also engaged with another of the Grizzlies beat writers who mentioned something about,
Was this Chris Harrington or Ronald Tiller?
No, I don't even remember. It's a guy who I think works for the Fox News station. Again, I'm not sure.
Fish Nation?
It wasn't. But so he's tweeting about Lure and the bench because the bench had a pretty good game. And he wrote something like, Quincy might come around. And I just started saying like, yeah, but he's like, I'm tired of people talking about his potential. And so that was the basis of my tweet where I'm like, I don't think we can talk about him getting better. This is his fourth year. He's just not very good. And it's kind of funny how his four-year, $3 million a year extension ended up being a bad bet. When you thought it was such a low bet, where like you're getting production that you can get from a minimum player.
Correct.
So again, all that was somehow summed up in 140 characters where I think I said something like it's his fourth year. He's not good. You could get that production from a minimum player.
A Tony Roden.
So those are my two tweets. So, and in both of them, I didn't tag Quincy Pondexter. Like, these are just...
You didn't at him.
I didn't at him because, I mean, it's not like I'm, one.
You don't want inside.
We have 25 followers. Who cares what we say?
Right.
But so I just put that out there. So Quincy Pondexter favorites both of these tweets. So that makes me concerned about his mental state of mind
and
his frame
safety.
Of mind and my safety. Because, I mean, this is a guy who had a bad game or just in his mind didn't get a shot. He's angry. So apparently he's just searching Twitter for his name.
Quincy, if you're listening.
And then so Quincy, if
by the time this comes out, Keith probably has a baby.
He's going to be a father. Do not exact vengeful violence.
I honestly thought about, I've since followed Quincy. but I thought about tweeting at him like, hey,
do not tweet at Coupon.
I was going to tweet at him like, I'm cheering for you.
Right.
I want you to be good.
That's hard to come across.
Yeah. And so
you should slide up in his DMs and really take some time.
He's going to start hitting us up, asking where the right rats are around town.
Yeah. So that's how do we even
where
get
are my
there?
Hood rats?
That was the worst of the week from someone.
I just mentioned
you just
Quincy
threw it
Pondexter.
Out. Quincy's name came out.
I knew what I was doing.
You knew what you were doing. He steered us there.
Keith, who you got? Who was your worst of the week?
My worst of the week. This is exciting. My worst of the week is the person I apologized to last week. Last week.
This is a self-fulfilling pat on the back. I felt like this
you,
was coming.
Yeah, Chuck knows what's happening. I'm doing this to make myself feel good. I apologized to Garrett Temple last week.
You're selling the temple!
Yeah, so in our preseason thing, I claimed I was talking about how bad he was and how the Wizards were starting him. And then I apologized to him last week because he got off to a great start. Since my apology, he's 1-for-10, 3 points in two games as a starter. So he's my worst of the week. And I guess we maybe give him another week to find out who was truly, which is the real one. But anyway, so that's a...
He's still shooting a pretty good 3-point percentage.
No, he's still shooting a good percentage. But since I apologized to him publicly.
That's right.
Yeah. Maybe 1-for-10.
Maybe you shouldn't have done that.
1-for-10.
Maybe you need to go ahead and apologize to Coupon for all of our sakes.
For the family's safety.
I just want everyone to know that Keith lives in affluent West Nashville, nowhere near me.
Did not drop bombs.
I live in South Nashville. Chuck lives in Murfreesboro. I live in South.
That's South.
The South of Nashville.
I live right near Dave and Buster's.
Did we get a worse from you, Chuck?
Yeah,
I can't even remember.
It was the Cavs.
It was just the Cavs?
Yeah.
No, okay. That was his best.
Was that my best?
Was that your best?
This is Chuck's second
time
worst. He's done this.
Oh, no.
Oh, this is the cream of the wheat also. I didn't even say this. This is the cream of the wheat, worst of the week.
Oh, yeah, my worst of the week. I think, it's the worst of the week, but I think worst probably, it takes a more historical perspective.
Oh, I know what this is.
It has to do with one Kobe Bean.
Kobe
Bean Bryant. passing or breaking the record for most missed shots in a NBA career.
You didn't think he could do it, did you, Chuck?
No, I actually, if you would have...
You didn't think Kobe could miss 13 shots against the vaunted Grizzlies
They were
defense?
Going up against the Grizzlies, and I'm saying there's no way he beats it this week. I was hoping he would do it on the road so that the Lakers could have some sort of like video like
package when he came home.
Yeah, like if he would have done it at home. If he would have done it at home, it would have been beautiful to see what that production team there in
set
Laker
to
Town.
Some Ennio Morricone they did do, spaghetti yeah. Western
they,
music.
They did do a good, the Lakers production team did have a pretty good celebration on their first win.
Yeah.
There was confetti blown out of places.
Yeah, it may
and
be
the
even,
hands go up.
Yeah, well, I'm just glad for Charles Barkley's safety because he was not going to eat until they won a game, and he could have wasted away to nothing.
Yeah, I mean, he's already very, 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 very thin.
Yes, he's almost. Well, in Kobe's defense, though, there are some numbers that you know may interest you because, you know, who has the most walks of all time in baseball?
Barry Bonds.
Throwing. Pitcher.
I most definitely do not.
Oh, that's...
I would guess Nolan Ryan.
I'm going Nolan Ryan.
Okay, just
correct.
Longevity.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, if you're looking at, you know, you're looking at a long career with a lot of opportunities to make mistakes, and if you're... He's made more than...
Who has the most... Is the most fumbles in football still Dave Craig?
Brett Favre.
Is it Brett Favre? Favre. That makes sense.
Yeah. He came longevity. At it hard at the end of his career.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brett Favre.
Most picks.
Reggie Jackson has most strikeouts.
Most weird grade...
Yeah,
Brett Favre. Ben Roethlisberger is tied with Brett Favre for most weird grade.
Yeah, there are two for two. Ricky Henderson was caught most stealing. So you know, there's perspective to be had. But really, like it's just me.
Perry Farrell may have been caught stealing that many times. That's my Jane's Addiction joke of the week, y'all.
that might be its own new segment. It would just give that a breakfast
the
name.
The Perry Farrell Lollapalooza breakfast been caught stealing joke of the week.
Oh.
Keith, what's your Perry Farrell Lollapalooza been caught stealing joke of the week that we have to do every week from now on?
Can't say I have one.
It could be a flea joke.
Lack of preparation.
I can't even do
a Dave
one.
Navarro joke?
I can give you like...
You guys are soft.
I can give you like a Busta Rhymes joke.
S-A-W-F-T.
Yeah, if you want one.
Sure. Busta Rhymes joke. Go.
No, I can't. I can't
you
even...
You f***ing lied.
I lied.
All right, what's the next segment?
All right, next segment. we're just going to do our Waffle House scattered, smothered, covered thoughts. Are there any thoughts that we didn't get to that we maybe want to?
I'm worried about... a couple of teams that I wasn't worried about. I'm worried about the Clippers. And I am like pretty seriously like wondering what is even going to happen to the Denver Nuggets. Like that team, I had very low expectations, but I'm betting against them in every game and it is beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, that team is a disaster.
What they should have done last year was trade anyone who wasn't Kenneth Faried or Ty Lawson when they kind of were playing well.
Jeez, and Kenneth Faried and Ty Lawson might be their best trade chips at this point.
Yeah, I mean, but that was that's what I'm saying is yeah. they're at this point where all these players are kind of bottomed out and they brought in Aaron Afalo, who's nothing that you bring in to make things better, and they just don't have any. You need a star. You need somebody to take over. And Ty Lawson is not that guy. And Kenneth Faried is a beautiful glue player, as you saw on the
right.
Team USA. He's a guy that'll really dominate if he's not worried about any sort of creation offensively.
I assume what's going to happen with the Nuggets is NBA teams are just going to circle over them like vultures and try to see if they can get any of the parts. Because you feel like a lot of those parts could be useful other places. And again, they have a lot of depth and a lot of guys who are decent. You know, we used to say pretty solid NBA players.
Does Masai Ujiri pick the carcass of his old franchise? Is this a two-part plan to world dominance?
I did look in. I mean, I like the Raptors. Again, they look
great.
And so that's another thing we can talk about. They're still playing really well. I don't know who on the Nuggets the Raptors really need. I mean, the Raptors guards, Lou Williams is playing incredible. Like, throwback Lou Williams, he's back.
One of my favorite acquisitions.
And I thought maybe they had some redundancy if they really wanted to move up. I was trying to think next level, like maybe like they want to just do, because they have Lowry and DeRozan, maybe move Ross for a good player. But Ross is playing so well. Terrence Ross is playing so well. Like,
you know. I think if they wanted to make a move, they could upgrade on Valanciunas. I don't believe in Valanciunas.
Right. The big is an obvious.
He doesn't think he's a thing.
I think Amir Johnson is a thing, yeah. But I don't think Valanciunas
Amir's good,
is a thing.
But I wonder, do you think, again, I don't know who on the Nuggets, if Danilo Gallinari, who you definitely don't believe is a thing, no. If he was good.
That is no thing.
Even though you can Google him and he has a Wikipedia page.
Yeah, you could see him, but again, that's theoretical. I think they need a big guy. But I don't know who the Nuggets have for the Raptors.
So basically, JaVale McGee, by George.
So basically, the Nuggets are like a you pull it auto salvage yard.
I think so.
So like there aren't really any. You're not going to get a really good
pick apart.
Yeah, you're not going to get a really good engine out of there. You know, you might be able to pull a fuel filter that doesn't have many miles.
I mean, JJ Hickson is coming back.
It was a fuel filter that doesn't have many miles on. Is that like a professor joke there? What do we have there?
I don't know, man. I'm just trying to make a podcast.
Maybe. I'm not going to take on Chuck's conspiracy of the week, but maybe, just maybe, Masai Ujiri walks the earth, rebuilding franchises to so that they could become playoff teams, and then he leaves when he gets a better job.
You think maybe he's going to feel a calling back to the Nuggets?
I think he might move from the Raptors to an even better franchise, although I guess the Raptors are not a better franchise.
I love what the Raptors have going on.
The Raptors and the Grizzlies are the two best teams on the planet so far.
You can ask your iPhone. Siri will confirm it.
They will let you know. And they've not ever at the same time both been top of their conference since their inception.
That's
a little side note.
That's a good tidbit.
Yeah, so it's looking good for a former Canada team and a current Canadian team.
It is a shame that the Grizzlies aren't still in Vancouver, because I think the world would kind of be turned upside down if the top two teams in the NBA
and the number one draft pick the past 2 years were from Canada.
It's true.
That would just, I think there's some weird things going on with basketball if that's the case.
Can we move Minnesota Timberwolves to Canada? I mean, they already got Wiggins and Bennett.
I think what we should do...
Minnesota is in Canada.
I think what we should do
technically
to
in
help
Canada.
Minnesota is to get Coach Craig T. Nelson and Dauber to come watch those.
Shelly Fabre.
Yeah.
She can sing the theme song.
You know, if those guys, if Flip Saunders pulled his head out of his butt and said, I'm going to be a coach and GM.
Bill Fagerbach.
I'll do it.
We mentioned the Clippers. The Clippers look really rough. They're winning some games. I mean, they're not out of it by any stretch. Blake Griffin, apparently people think he might be sick. He's been sick recently.
He's been ill.
Tuberculosis.
He's been shooting a lot of jumpers, and they haven't really been falling. Their wing defenders and their wing position is a mess. They won a game because J.J. Redick was on fire. I'd never seen him play that well in the NBA.
Yeah.
They have some serious holes. They have, you know, Jordan Farmar, CDR, Jared Cunningham, Hedo Turkoglu, like Matt Barnes.
Who are you to besmirch Hedo Turkoglu?
Ever since Hedo quit juicing,
dude,
I think we have evidence that
post-PED Hedo can't do anything.
You can throw all his numbers out.
I miss point forward Hedo.
I also think Spencer Hawes.
Whoops.
I think that sums it up.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked to see him get punched.
Oh yeah.
You know, like
by DeAndre Jordan.
While
wearing a horse mask.
Has Spencer Hawes, does he have playoff experience? Do we know? Has he been on a good team?
He was a Sixer.
The Sixers, I think, did they make the playoffs that 1 year, the last year Iguodala was there and he was on
that
team?
Not with Spencer Hawes on that team. Surely not.
Well,
I'm going to the, you guys talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah, I don't think, I think you're right. I don't think he has.
Because he's a guy who looks good on teams, and like you watch the games, you're like, oh, look at that guy. Like he's moving the ball. He's getting assists for the center. He's a stretch big guy. He's a five, something shooting threes. He's shooting a good percentage, and you're like, oh, he's pretty good. So then he goes on a good team. Jeez. And he looks terrible, like out there, and he's taking crazy shots, and it's a
playoffs. 5 games in 2011.
Okay,
13 games in 2012. Yeah. More importantly, Hawes is a conservative Republican and a critic of Al Gore's documentary, An Inconvenient Truth.
I do remember.
ESPN reported on draft night that he loves debate politics and has a God Bless George W. Bush bumper sticker on his car. Hawes has appeared on the Lars Larson Show,
oh,
a conservative radio talk show.
Shout out. We're all the, see if you can follow Lars on Twitter.
Yeah. I called that right. So in order for me to prove it to John, I touched the back of his neck and now he's freaking out.
Oh, I thought there was like a moth on my neck.
No, I did that to make you feel bad.
Well, I feel terrible.
We call that a save you one back in middle school.
Was there saliva on that?
No, it was just pure grease from my fingers working hard in the streets.
I guess another thought I had this week, are you done with Clippers? Are you had more?
Let's move on. I'm tired.
What do you think about, are these two stories related? One, Darren Williams of the Nets named Eastern Conference Player of the Week. Two, Joe Johnson criticizes his teammates as playing very selfishly.
Joe Johnson, pot kettle black, my friend.
Hey, that's racist.
You're finally,
team's
finally playing somewhat reasonably well, and Darren Williams seems to be back from the dead, and you're bitching and moaning?
Yeah.
That's how I feel. I feel like Darren Williams is somehow a little Lazarus Project. That's an Interstellar shout.
Well, that's actually, that's a person.
Back
that's
from
a
the
person
dead.
That I may have to, I should have saved that. That should have been my breakfast in bed apology. I did take a doo-doo on Darren Williams.
Yeah, but I think you were running some kind of game on me because then you traded for Darren Williams for me in fantasy.
Ooh, I'm sorry. The fantasy buzzer is lighting up.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to need to not talk about fantasy.
He used the podcast for evil black magic.
It's misinformation. It's all smoke and mirrors. No, I think it's hilarious how the player that gets paid the most in the NBA is talking about being selfish when he's pretty much blew up their salary cap and they can't.
When the new salary cap goes into effect, are we going to see an NBA where the best players in the NBA are the highest paid? Because it has been forever
since
like the top 10 countries in the NBA were good. Yeah. Like it's Amari Stoudemire.
Right.
You can go further back. Kobe Bryant.
You can go to like John Konkak.
Yeah. I'm just saying the top contracts, because they keep, and you look at the top 10, it's always like, oh,
and when
my
it comes
goodness.
To labor, it makes me kind of sick the fact that you have these, you know, billionaire team owners who preach sacrifice to their superstars. I mean, a guy like Dwayne Wade, it's never been the highest paid player on his team ever. Not 1 year of his whole NBA career.
And that was LeBron. And so,
right.
Sounds
well, I mean,
right.
Shaq got more than him. Eddie Jones at one point was being paid more than him. Now Chris Bosh is getting
Eddie
paid
Jones.
More. Well, it was early in his career. But I'm saying, like, you know, the fact that a transcendent NBA player like Dwayne Wade, an all-time great, one of the greatest finals performers of all time, second to Bennett Salvatore.
That's probably Bennett's, yeah.
That being, you know... that sort of player having never, you know, made the most money on his team is really – it doesn't show well for the labor force.
Owners, as long as Chris Copeland gets his big contract at the end of the year, I'm all in. Although I think he actually got a big contract last year.
I think I bought weed off of Chris Copeland in Washington Square Park when I lived in New York.
Nicely done.
All right, so have we wrapped up all of our scattered, covered, and smothered thoughts?
We didn't ever talk about Oklahoma, which is a little sad, but it's a story, and we haven't really... Okay, let's skip
it.
Oklahoma's bad.
Bassie Telfair's playing. I can't live in a world.
They have won a couple games. They're actually... they're 2-1 at home. All their losses are on the road so far. So again, that Energy something Solutions Arena or whatever
it's called. Chesapeake Bay.
Yeah.
Right now, the Thunder and the Pistons are somehow more depressing to me than the Lakers or the Sixers.
The Lakers are just like a weird freak show that like, and Kobe right now is playing like Jordan with the Wizards.
I think he's compared himself to Jordan.
He compared himself after the missed shots record to Jordan.
And I think the numbers kind of, they're both, you know, the same kind of shooting percentage. So, yeah, I think the Laker freak shows, they're not even sad. It's just hilarious.
Pretty hilarious. Jordan Hill, last shot of the game.
Oh, thank you.
From about 19 feet.
Thank you from Grizzlies fans. All right, so now our next segment. I think you have it loaded up, Chuck.
Oh, no, I got it.
Yeah. We're going to do Chuck's turkey bacon conspiracy theory.
Okay. So here's where I'm at. I think that I'm going to talk about the Indiana Pacers and basically their team and a theory that I have about that team that you may agree with and you may not. So let's see how it goes. But after the Malice in the Palace.
Throwback.
Right. So after the Malice in the Palace, the ownership of the Indiana Pacers says, you know what? This team's got to get white fast. So I think they drafted like Austin Crozier. I'm not even sure.
I feel like Austin Crozier was already on the team. But I'm not going to worry about the facts.
No, these facts, because it's conspiracy theory. So they drafted Tyler Hansbrough, definitely. They just drafted Psycho white, team. And they couldn't win that way. So they had to only draft players whose names sound white. So they went Roy Hibbert.
Next level. I like this.
Lance Stevenson. You know,
you have a Paul.
Yeah. And
Paul,
even
George, Paul, a Roy, and a Lance.
They had two. Yeah. They had two Davids.
You could, Hill. You could fake out some Indiana grandmas when you send them that program in the mail and there's no pictures. Right. And you're like, we got
I
Lance.
I like this George Hill. Lance, oh my God, he's Roy. Black.
Yeah.
George. And George Hill does sound like, that sounds like he could actually produce turkey Hill. Sausage.
Right.
Or turkey bacon. I'm sorry.
And
George Hill's turkey bacon.
Even now you have Donald Sloan, who sounds like a hedge fund manager. You know what I mean? That's Solomon Hill.
He sounds so wise. That sounds like a
wise man. You know,
I see the big bushy white sideburns.
All I'm saying is, it's almost as if the owner of the Pacers is a blind racist who only listens to the game on the radio.
He's the Chappelle Show blind. Right. Yeah, I got you.
And won't accept any black sounding name. So what I'm saying, LaVoy Allen, you're on the trade block.
LaVoy is time's running out.
Be careful.
I think that is one of our that might be a standard bearer for Chuck's turkey bacon conspiracy theories.
I have nothing to refute.
Nothing. I think
there's no Scully in this room.
Nope.
I think I think John and I are both slightly nervous to say much of anything.
Yes.
About this. So there it is. There you have it. Chuck's turkey bacon conspiracy theory. That was a good one. All right, now we're having, I think, our last little segment here. It's going to be the Stackhouse, the International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award.
That's right.
And this goes to the work's worst box score of the week. We have three nominees.
No Mellows, no Mellows, no Mellows, no Josh Smiths, no Josh Smiths, no Whammies, no Whammies.
Our first nominee is Tyreke Evans, who went 2 for 14 from the field.
But with 10 assists.
Yes. So Tyreke's saving grace is 1, 10 assists, and then 2.
Plus, that's just what he do.
That's what he do. And the fact that no one else on the Hornets, well, outside of David Anderson, is hitting shots. That backcourt is not giving him any support. Mm. Anthony Davis, sorry, support. I probably thought that. Sorry. All right, so first nominee, Tyreke Evans with a 2 for 14, however, 10 assists. Our next nominee is one Carmelo Anthony, who in a loss to the Pistons.
Say what?
Which that honestly should be the end of the conversation.
Unforgivable.
He went 5 for 20. He did scratch and claw his way to 19 points, but his 5 for 20 was one game after going 5 for 21. Ooh. No, those are tough. And then
he didn't have 10 assists either.
No, he had nothing. he had
free throws.
He had some free throws. And then our final nominee.
A Dwayne Wade game, you might say, Chuck.
Our final nominee is Chandler Parsons.
Shut up.
Who in victory with a plus minus of 23, pulled off a 1 for 11 with 5 points, no assists.
Yeah.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
I think it might be Chandler Parsons.
Chandler Parsons, fatty, he's the Chandler from Friends who's like off pills.
The pills Chandler.
Yeah, the pills
Chandler. Bloated pills Chandler.
Bloated pills, that's who he is.
It's true. So, all right. So
I'm worried about
this week's International Stackhouse of Pancake Award winner is Chandler Parsons. Last week's was Lance Thomas of the Thunder.
Remember, who remember again, award winners, Jerry Stackhouse is coming for you.
Yeah, he was 1-for-10 last week. Also, Lance, last week's winner, pulled off a 2-for-10 this week, but we had some other nominees.
So yeah, I think we shouldn't be able to nominate so many consecutive weeks.
Well, I think if they earn it, I want to see who gets multiple awards.
Can we call that really the Josh Smith exemption?
Smith exemption.
That's like the Larry Bird rule.
The J. Smoove exemption.
All right, and so now for our we're wrapping up quick because my wife might be giving birth to my son.
Yeah, so no Grizzlies epilogue this week. Sorry.
Well, no, I think we have time for that, John. we still have time to
talk about that Beano Udrih crossover.
We still have time for that. So our par fadeaway. Any parting thoughts? Is there anything we didn't cover that we needed to get to that we wanted to talk about? What a par fadeaway. What did we miss? Or what are you looking forward to in the coming NBA week?
I want to say briefly that I don't think that the Grizzlies will ever lose again.
Oh, you think the one loss is it?
That's it.
That's pretty good.
81-1.
81-1. I think it's possible.
When you beat the mighty Lakers by 5, with the bench playing the way they are now.
Oh, when Costa gives you a 5-for-5.
Efficiency.
Man. His PR just soared after that game.
Are we segueing into the Grizzlies?
No, not yet. I do say one thing I think I forgot to mention in the worst of the week is last week we were talking about who was off to cold starts, and we had our Jacques Vaughn watch for 0-for-22.
Eric Gordon?
We have a serious contender.
Oh, that's right.
Well, not serious, but a person that we thought would not be in the running of our 4 nominees last week.
It's an homage.
Chase Budinger. He has still got it going. He's 0-for-10. Holy We're at double dig.
He must have not played because he was at 0-for-10 last time.
He hasn't. Well, I think I no. He was at 0-for-5 last time.
Wow.
I think I texted you guys that he was at 0-for-10. I actually haven't looked. Again, we're recording this Wednesday night. I think they might be playing tonight, and he might have made a shot.
If your son is born tonight, will you name him Chase Budinger Parish?
I will.
Thank you.
There's no question.
We can call him Buddy.
That's true.
Buddy's a great name.
It's good.
What's the game we want to look forward to seeing next week? We're talking Houston Grizz.
I don't know. That'll be an affront to the senses.
Yes,
that will be. I don't know. There's a particular game. I mean, I'll tell you.
So many fouls.
There's Pelicans Blazers. I think it's a great game to watch next Monday.
I do like. Yeah,
you can weep for LaMarcus Aldridge in that.
The Pelicans. I watched hoping their guys are going to hit some shots.
Yeah,
but hasn't happened so far.
Ryan Anderson like will drop men. Some. He'll drop will. Some.
Or maybe we should do the Evan Fournier watch for this week. Well, keep flame throwing.
How many points does he have at halftime here? Like 72?
Yeah, points.
He had 15 points 10 minutes into the game when we started taping. All right. So that's our par fadeaway. Again, Grizzlies fans or anyone else who wants to hear more about the Grizzlies, stick around. We'll have a little break. We might even post it separately. Who knows?
But never.
You've been listening to Fast Break Breakfast. We're on Twitter at Fast Break Break. We're in the iTunes store now. We're on Stitcher now. So go ahead and subscribe because it's free.
And it's a 5-star rate us.
Go ahead and give us those ratings.
Yeah.
And
remember, breakfast is the most important meal.
It is the most important thing. You guys have a good one. All right, welcome back to the Grizzlies epilogue. Since we were last with you last week, the Grizzlies finally lost a game. They did not go. They're not going to go 82-0. They lost to the we haven't said the word frisky yet. They lost to the Frisky Bucks, who again with their length, their athleticism, the Grizzlies let them hang around. They came back, won Brandon Knight at the end.
The sharp eared listener at the end of our show just now will realize that I am actually worried about the Grizzlies. These are three games that they should have won handily that they not only did not all, they didn't win all of them. It kind of won against the Thunder.
They were
in
all very tight.
Fashion.
They were all very close. But one thing that Grizzlies fans, you can take pride in or you can feel good about, they've actually been up by double digits in all their games.
We're a much faster starting team now.
They are. Against the Bucks in the loss again, it seemed like a game that was in control. But then the second half, they just really fell apart. And that was a game where the bench gave literally nothing. It was disastrous. Vince Carter didn't play that game. It should be noted the Grizzlies are in fact undefeated when Vince Carter plays.
That was a game with far too much Earthworm Jim for my liking. I know you're a fan.
No, I am a fan.
He sunk us.
Tayshaun Prince, he means.
That's right.
Tayshaun Prince has one of the better plus minuses of the of the bench group. But
not
still.
in that game. Four, I believe.
Yeah. And so, oh, the thing of that game is John Luehr disaster watch. This made me really unhappy. So we were watching his field goals. Going into that game, he was 3 for 20 from the field. He went 1 for 4, but...
Cashed it at the end.
No. He went 1 for 4 in the game. The Bucks scored 2 buckets in their own basket.
Jared Bayless touched.
No, he didn't touch him.
He shot him and they knocked
him
in.
He had no bearing on the play at all. Right, he was near it.
Yeah, right.
So like he got credited for 2 baskets where he's just standing on the court doing literally nothing. And so that raised shooting percentage.
That confused me because he ended up 3 for 6 in that game. Yeah. And I was like, man, I don't mean he scored.
He didn't score. He was 1 for 4. And so suddenly he's pulling off his first shooting 500 game of the season, 3 for 6. So now... Last game against the Lakers, he was 1 for 1. So I think he's 7 for 27 on the year.
The bad thing about that Bucks matchup is if we didn't shoot incredibly well from the line, we probably aren't even in the game.
It's so true. At one point, I think they were like 27 for 28. I mean, they finished 31 for 34.
It gave me pause, and then the Oklahoma City game gave me even more pause.
I mean, at least for the Bucks game, you have to understand that it was the fourth game in 5 nights. It was the end of a road trip. There's a lot of letdown on that, and then the Bucks. They're so athletic and they're so long, and that's the kind of team that's going to bug the Grizzlies. They're going to be annoyed, like the old veterans are kind of annoyed. They have to put up with the guys trying so hard on the other team, which again, kudos to Jason Kidd for the Bucks are playing really hard.
I think team is a youthful endeavor. They're going to play hard until they realize they're terrible. Let us hope.
Right. It's fun. So last game against the Lakers, which just happened last night, it was the first game where a bench player had scored double digits.
Costa
and Bano
5 for 5. Costa
5 for 5. Bano was 8 for 11. Was just playing great.
It's your chance to talk about Bano, Chuck.
Oh, Bano did
Bano
that. That crossover boy. The Heat man broke that dude ankles. Man.
I like his Grizzlies epilogue Southern accent.
Yeah, man.
It is good. Yeah, Ronnie Price just was swinging a miss.
Oh. Is that your 3-6 mafia?
Reaching for the ball.
That's my Project Pat impersonation.
You're gonna run the jewels now? What do we got,
Chuck? What do you have? I don't know if you even heard this news because you probably don't have your finger to the pulse of the Grizzlies. Kenyon Martin is coming in for a workout.
Yeah, he's 104 years old. So
boy,
you really want to bring in that youth.
One of the weirdest tattoos.
But you know, your bench is disgusting. And,
it's getting better.
Nowhere to go but
Bano, Costa.
No,
Vince got 22 minutes.
And Vince hit some good shots. And the best thing about Vince in the Lakers game is his shots looked good when he released them. They looked good. They seemed to be shooting right. But also a thing, I mean, technically the bench was shortened. We did not see all 5 bench players playing at the same time against the Lakers. They had 3 in mainly. And that's always been the story. For me, that's always the story with like Costa Kufos or even Quincy or John Luehr, that those guys can play alongside other good people. If they're all on the court together, that's just terrifying.
And I support the Earthworm Jim DNP coach's decision. Tayshaun
Prince.
That's right. I support that at all times.
They save them.
The last thing I really have to say about that game, and I love it when this happens, former Grizzly special ed minus 11 for the night. Poor performance. Good riddance, special ed.
Negative, but he was fine. Block shot, one, like a block, a steal, 3 for 4 from the field. I mean,
worst plus minus in the game.
He's on the Lakers.
Worst plus minus in the game. That's all I got to say.
That's right.
I miss special ed every day.
If you guys sign Kenyon Martin, maybe you can try out Sharif Abdul-Rahim or any number of...
I think Michael Dickerson might come back.
80-year-old.
I think Michael Dickerson was like the 5th highest paid player. Highest paid player.
What's
like
Buck
2 years after he'd torn his groin for the last time.
What's Buck Williams doing?
I don't know. I think Kenyon Martin is interesting. I mean, I think it's interesting if he is going to be a backup forward, if that means they want to play him...
Over
John Luehr.
I think John Luehr's days are numbered.
Everyone talks about the analytics and the stretch four and how the Grizzlies want a stretch four. John Luehr, we didn't do a game of scones this week, trivia, but 7 for 27. How many of those are 3-point attempts?
0.
No, 1. Uno.
Oh,
So he's only shooting pretty much long twos. which again, it's like, if you're not going to have a stretch four actually shooting threes, I would much rather have, I mean, I'd prefer a rim protecting power forward, but Kenyon Martin can get out there and body up with people, play defense. He's fine at that.
John Lewis is bringing nothing to the table right now.
Currently. I mean, he looked good out there in the game against the Lakers.
Right.
But again, you're playing one of the worst teams in the NBA.
Watching the likes of Lewis and Kufis accept beautiful Mark Gasol passes is killing me. It's killing me.
Yeah. I mean, Tony Allen, he will blow a Marc Gasol assist, but at least...
But when Tony does, it's endearing.
Yeah.
Somehow endearing.
And at least he'll get him back.
You just go, ha ha, Tony, what the f*** are you doing? That's but with Kufis and Lure, you're just like, good Lord, you stone-handed fools.
Yeah. Which we do think Ed Davis got let go because of his stone hands.
I think so.
He couldn't catch a pass either.
Mark didn't like it. Malo.
That Marc Gasol, little back behind the door...
Oh,
pass.
Nasty.
That was gorgeous.
I think
he's had a couple games where he was led the team in assists this week.
He's the best passer on the team.
Honestly,
easily.
That's the thing, and that is not a thing as a Grizz fan. It's not a thing you want.
No, it's really not.
You want him to lead an assist if guys are on fire, if he's getting right. all those stupid assists where he just swings it to someone and they hit a three.
Yeah. Right.
You want him to score. And that actually, the three wins over teams that we're not sure are very good, or the 2-1 record, sorry, the last three games against teams that aren't very good.
He didn't do what he needed to do.
You're concerned that when he's catching the ball, he's not looking at the basket immediately.
Only 8 points in one, and then another one, only all of his points came through 11 free throws.
He is 11 for 32 last three games. not very good.
I want to blame that on dominant big men, but then I remember we're talking about Jordan Hill and Stephen Adams, who is a Grizz killer.
Is tough, and he's a very physical guy.
Haka dance.
All right. So
why
that,
doesn't he do that?
He should do it after every free throw.
I mean, shouldn't he do the thing he's stereotypically supposed to do?
Yeah, and gets mad about America not enjoying when we played in New Zealand and the world.
Chuck, you're mumbling again.
Are you dripping away from the microphone? And
I'm at two beers. I'm sorry.
You getting sleepy?
He's just a
he's a beautiful Maori man.
He looks gigantic. He does look like an Eastern Island head.
He's a big guy. All right, so I think that probably wraps up our little brief Grizzlies epilogue. Again, I got to check on my wife and make sure.
I'm worried but hopeful.
She hasn't found someone else to hold her hand.
Say hello to Chase Buttinger, buddy. Parrish for us.
Yeah, it'll be exciting. So, you guys, thanks for listening. Check us out on Twitter. Have a good week.